Good morning, everyone. Yeah, this seems like a real vivacious crowd this morning. I'm just saying that. No, you do. Hey, look, before I get into the message this morning, I want to kind of explain something. And for those that have been a part of Friends Church for a long time, this won't be news to you. But I know of a number of people that I've met more recently who have been coming only a shorter time. I think it's just a healthy thing to know about Friends Church and what we even talk about here on Sunday mornings and the themes and the topics that we address, the kind of the why behind it. I think it's healthy. A number of years back, quite a number now, Friends Church, we, the teaching team, the leadership team, we made a very conscious, deliberate shift in what we talk about on Sunday mornings. Gregory actually alluded to it in one of his songs that he was talking about this morning. We moved away from a lot of the talk and a lot of the fixation that many within the Christian tradition have about heaven, the life beyond, and how to get there, and the formulas to get there, and who's in and who's out. Those are some of the things that he was talking about. We made this shift largely in part because of the life and the teaching of Jesus. It seemed he was so consumed with helping people live differently here and now, living in a way that could touch people and touch the world and leave a mark. He would say, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the flavor. And so in the way that you live, let your light shine. You are the ones that should be walking into dark rooms and lighting them up so that those who are fumbling around in the dark can see. He would say things like that. And we'd say, why are we so busy talking about this stuff way out there that we can't prove or that we know, but we can talk about stuff about here and now, about our lives and ways we could do this differently that would actually leave a mark, a positive mark on our world. So we start casting this vision and the people, like our community, all went, yes, please. But one thing we started, and as people began to hear it, and they began to realize their spiritual journey is lived out every day and how they live, and people started thinking about ways, their own unique giftings and callings and things that they could do to make a bigger impact in their world. So excited. I could tell you stories of the different ways that we watch individuals take this seriously and do it. But what we also noticed as that was going on, there were many who loved the vision, but found themselves, it was like they were in a boat that was taking on water. And as fast as they could bail, the water was still coming in terms of their life. They were wanting to make an impact, but all their resources, their time, their energy, their focus was consumed with their own lives, survival. Some of them had relationship issues that were just holding them down, consuming them. Some financial, some their time. They just overcommitted themselves. And so it didn't matter if there were opportunities right in front of them. They couldn't do anything about it. They were overstretched, overcommitted under it. Some were health issues. Some were emotional issues. Some were dealing with depression. They're just like, I want to make a difference, but I don't feel I can. This is when we began to realize that when we talked about things that could alleviate that could somehow bring health, wholeness to people's lives so that they could in turn look above or beyond their own life, their own situation into the lives of those around them, anything that would help them get to that place where they could get water out of their boat, start planing on the water, looking around, being present, noticing what's happening, was deeply spiritual. Does that make sense? Anything that we could help people get more healthy so that they could be available to light up their world was deeply spiritual. In fact, as a leadership team, we started carving out a value. And if you don't mind putting that up, we said, we value these things. We value anything that creates healthy lives so that they can make a greater impact in our world. We said, we believe that anything that can address our fears, our failures, our brokenness, we could have gone on and on. You name it, addictions, anything that can address those things and restore us to wholeness is deeply spiritual. So we see the spiritual journey as a process of becoming more fully integrated people, mind, body, and spirit, and in turn, as a part of that journey, as we become whole, we offer up our lives in a way that makes our world better. Make sense? So every now and then, in fact, more often lately, I've noticed over the last even number of weeks, Vince and Tom and I, we've been talking specifically about areas that we see people chronically being held back in their lives, chronically ill in different parts of their lives that's holding them back from really living a spiritual life. And this morning, honestly, is no different. It's funny, over the summer, we're not tied to a series. So it gives us as individual speakers the liberty to kind of say, what am I seeing? What am I feeling? What's resonating inside of me? So I want to revisit something that I've hit before. But I'm telling you, every time I turn around, I'm watching it. And I'm even feeling it. I'm going, okay, we're going to talk about this again. So forgive me if you've heard pieces of this, but I'm telling you, if we want to get to the place where we're salt and we're light, where we're the flavor in our world, we're the light as we walk into different places in people's lives, this is important business I'm going to talk about this morning. So to give you a little context before I get into it, I need to tell you a story. It happened, I'd like to say many, many moons ago, but to be honest, this happened not all that long ago. I was at the office here. I was in meetings. Wednesdays are kind of meeting days for me. And so when I get in a meeting, I try to leave my phone off or, you know, turn off the ringer or whatever. This one time, actually, I left my phone on my desk. I came upstairs. I was in the library meeting with some people. I came back downstairs, flipped over my phone, and it was like it had been lit up like a Christmas tree, all these texts. I was like, oh, who's trying to get a hold of me? I noticed that my son had been trying to get a hold of me. And he had, you know how it tells you, you get two missed calls, three missed calls, whatever. Didn't get me. Then he texted me. He said, Dad, where are you? I need to talk to you right away. Well, obviously, I wasn't around. So he had reached out to Kathy, who was up to her eyeballs at work. And so she was like, get a hold of your dad. I'm trying to get a hold of it. So then Kathy starts calling. I'm not around. And then the texts come in. So I'm kind of figuring all this out. I read through. Austin tells me what his problem is. I call him quick, solve the problem. But there's this one text that Kathy left me. After saying, I'm trying to reach you. Where are you? Why aren't you answering your phone? Finally, hello, 3 question marks. And it just kind of, it got my goat. I'm sitting there in my office. I'm going, I'm in a meeting. And I'm thinking, wow, that energy. You know, of course, you take a text and then you interpret the tone and you translate it a little bit. And you're going, oh, she's screaming at me now. She's saying, hello. You know, that's how it felt. So I did what every loving husband would do. And I sent her a nice text back, not answering her question at all. And ending it with 3 exclamation marks. Hello. Fights on. To which she then responded about 15 minutes later. I won't go into that, but every text over the next few minutes, the energy and the edge climbing. I know never have any of you done this. I'm just going to open up my life here for a second. It got to the point where she's upset and I'm upset. Fired off the last email, turned off the buzzer, put it on my desk, and walked away. And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to want me to respond, but no, I am not responding. And I got busy throughout the day. Someone came in, and Carmen did something. I started laughing, got totally distracted, got into it, started answering my email, got into some reading, doing some different things. And then about 1:30 in the afternoon, I just instinctively reach for my phone, flip it over. And there's some other texts on there, but I'm reminded instantly of the text, conversation Kathy and I are having. And it's funny how you can be in this mood. Have you ever had this? You can be in this mood, just loving life, feeling like, man, I'm in a groove. I'm getting stuff done. I'm feeling good. And I saw that text and it was like the emotional energy just got sucked right out of me. It was like blue skies and sun was shining emotionally in that moment. And then all of a sudden, it's like everything goes dim. And I feel this thing take over. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at it and I put the phone down and already I can feel my attitude has shifted just like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm driving home. I've forgotten again about everything going on. It's not resolved yet. And I drive into the garage, turn off the car, hit the garage door. I'm walking on my way from my car into the house. And I'm reminded, we still got a problem. And it's weird how this happened, but in a matter of milliseconds, I go, it's not over. I'm still upset. How many know what that's like? You have a moment, and I walked in there, I went, oh no, I'm not happy. That's right, I'm not happy. I walk in there, and I wasn't anticipating the dogs coming up, and you know, they're always so excited. And so now I got a quandary, because I'm always excited to see them. Hey, I do that, but now I'm thinking, just wait a second. Kathy might be around, she might hear that I'm happy. I don't... And so I'm like, I come in. My boys are sitting in the living room. They go, hey, Dad, how's the day? It's all right. It's all right. I look over. There's Kathy. I'm going, okay, everything. And they already can feel something different. I look over at Kathy. And, of course, it's awkward not even saying hello. But I'm needing to be angry. So I say, hey. I don't want to, no warmness. I need to communicate. We got a problem here. And she gave me one of those, hey. Or no, maybe it was, hey. It was warm. I could feel, I could feel that she was kind of going, hey, let's get on with things. But I didn't respond. I pretended I was busy, distracted. Went upstairs. I'm embarrassed as I tell this story, but I have a feeling that something like this happens often in most all of our lives. Something happens. Now, it might be a text conversation. It could be a phone call. It could be on your way to work, someone doing something driving around you. It could be someone making a remark about something you're wearing. It could be someone making a joke at your expense. It could be a comment over dinner and all of a sudden goes from clear blue skies to you feel it emotionally. It's just a twinge. Maybe someone, you ask for something and they go, no. And the clouds move over emotionally in that moment. I'm realizing that what happens right in that moment is more spiritually strategic than most any moment of your day. This is what I want to talk about this morning. Now, let me find my notes here. There's a story in the Bible that is very similar to this experience. It's a story of two brothers, Cain and Abel. For them, those of you that have read the stories, you'll know this well. Abel was a shepherd. He raised sheep, probably, maybe goats, maybe a bunch of different things. And Cain was a grain farmer. And this one story has them offering up an offering to God. This was common back in their day. They had this impression of God, this belief that God was kind of somewhat angry most days. And so the belief was that if you offered up these offerings, it would kind of appease God. It would make him happy. And a happy God meant that likely he would protect. He would keep bad storms from blowing in and killing your crops. Disease from wiping out your herds. Even health issues in your family. And so there was this process of continually offering up and believing that it would please. Well, the story goes that as they offered up this sacrifice, this offering to God, God looked down and looked at Abel, who had offered up a lamb from his flock. God says, love it. And Cain offers up his grain offering, and God says, don't like it. And Cain gets bummed, right? It's like, he has that moment. Ouch. What's kind of funny is the story says that God looks at him. The Lord says, why are you so dejected? Why are you bummed out? And he's like, you just kind of rained on my offering here. You know, he's like upset. He's feeling dejected. What's very interesting is how the story is written now. It says that God looked at him and says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. It's eager to control you. But you must subdue it. You must be its master. What a picture. You got an opportunity right now to do what is right in this moment where you got this pain. And if you do what's right, things could go well. But if you don't, I'm going to warn you right now, something's waiting to eat your lunch at the door. You must master that thing. Sadly, it says that Cain lured his brother out into the field. He didn't master that thing crouching at the door. He went out and he killed his brother. Jealousy. His ache led him to making a big, poor decision. Very poor. Now, believe the story, whether you tie into the Bible, you value it, whatever, it doesn't matter. This story has lasted for thousands of years. Been passed on, I believe. Because it tells a story that we all know. We all see ourselves in. We've all been there when something goes down that seems to poke like a thorn in our sock. And it gets us. And the clouds move over and we're sitting there reacting. The question is, what do we do with that thing that's waiting for us? Author Michael Singer, in his book, The Untethered Soul, it's a book I keep coming back to again and again. He would say that in that moment when I put down the phone on my desk and said, screw you, Kathy, I'm not responding. I'm going to leave you in that tormented state, that angry state, moving on. That moment when I walked into the house from the garage and said, I'm still mad. He says, I made a willful choice to close off my heart. That's how he describes it. Now, to be clear, he's not talking about my literal organ that pumps blood, right? He's referring to heart in a different way. He's describing this energy center inside of you. In Hinduism and Buddhism, it's referred to as a chakra. It's an energy center through which your energy is kind of, it is focused and it's distributed and it flows through. It's like this one big valve that's pumping energy out, in and out throughout you, into your own life, but into the world around you. And you felt this, whether you understand the energy center, your chakra, your heart inside you, whether you felt it or not, or whether you realize it or not, you felt this energy. You feel it when you're thinking about your holiday you're about to go on, perhaps. The fun event that you got coming up, you're looking forward to. There's an energy behind it. You getting ready to go out on a hot date. There's energy that's pumping through your veins. You're thinking about it. When you get ready to give someone a gift and you're so excited about how they're going to respond, there is energy that's flowing through you. You don't even realize it. This is the heart that he's speaking of, your energy center. In some traditions, this energy, if you've done any kinds of reading, even from different traditions, they'll call it Shakti, spirit, Kai. It's this energy that's meant to flow. It's meant to flow through us and in and out of us. Over 1,000 times, the Bible speaks of the heart in a similar way, describing it not as this blood pumping organ, but as probably a picture of our deepest, truest self that sits below our intellect, below our emotions, below our will. It sits at the deepest part of us. It's our heart. Writer in Luke says a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say, what comes out here, flows from what is down deep in your heart, that deepest part of you. There are many who believe, and I'm now one of them, that the health of the energy flow that's flowing through you is probably one of the primary indicators of your own spiritual growth and your impact in this world. Let me say that again. The health of your energy flow that's rolling through your system, through your chakras, through your heart, is probably one of the primary indicators of how you're growing spiritually or stunted and the kind of impact that you're having people around you. Let me ask you something. Have you ever experienced the beautiful energy coming off of someone? I bet we all have. I've known people when they walk in a room, they just light it up. They put a smile on my face. They say things and I lean in. I watch them speak into people's lives and I watch them. They're like withered flowers that all of a sudden start to open up and bloom. They have something exuding, something pouring out of them. You can't name it, but it's undeniable. And you find people just wanting to be around it. Jesus, one of those guys, they just wanted to come around him because he had this energy that was just flowing out of him into people's lives. And they're just clinging to it. People of all races and stripes, young and old, sick and healthy. They just wanted a piece of him. What is that? That's the energy flow that's flowing through him. The flip side of the energy flow when it gets closed off is really the opposite picture. It results in a life, first of all, your own, when that heart gets closed off, when the energy gets blocked, you can become listless. The love becomes painful. The joy dries up. You get to a place where there's just no energy. How many know people like this? It's just like they're like a 25 watt bulb and they're just getting through. They're just trying to get to the end of the day. In fact, these kind of people often, when that tap gets shut off, they actually create a deficit. They can create chaos. They can create drama. They can create hurt in people without even trying. They're attracted to drama, attracted to confrontation. Problems. That's what it looks like when the tap gets shut off. This was a picture of exactly what I was doing in small scale when I laid down my phone, when I walked into the house and refused. I just shut off the heart. And what that created in that household that night, my dogs are looking at me like, what the? You always come outside, throw that ball with us right now. My boys are like, bad day, Dad. Kathy just goes into silent mode. Chaos. It's like energy just got sucked out of that house. Everyone's walking on eggshells. Why would we ever do that? Why would I do that to her, to my kids, to my dogs, to me? I don't think any of us ever do this intentionally to hurt ourselves or the people around us. I don't believe we do. I don't think we're saying, oh, I just want to wreck my life. I just want to get to this place where I just can barely look, you know. No. I think we do it to protect ourselves. Something happens. Someone says something, the criticism, a little jabbing comment, sometimes unintentionally. I'm looking at that text that Kathy sent me. Her initial, the three question marks. Hello? She's panicking for my kid. She's not trying to say, screw you, Jeff. Take this. No, felt that way. She's just trying to get an answer for our kid. But there I am in that moment where the criticism, and what's happening? I'm sitting there looking at it. Now, in hindsight, I'm looking at it. And what am I feeling? I'm feeling like my fatherhood, my ability to provide for my kids, my concern for my family is being threatened. What are you doing? That's how I'm reinterpreting everything she's saying. Your kid needs you, and where are you right now? The criticism happens, the comment, something that scares us or threatens our sense of ego, our sense of identity. And then we're on the run, right? It's like a toothache. And instantly, what do? Oh, avoid hot, avoid cold. Avoid anything that might trigger that thing. What are we doing? We're protecting. So all of a sudden we're chewing out of the other side of our mouth. We're pulling back. Protecting anything from feeling that jab, that pain. Michael Singer calls it psychological sensitivities. Psychological sensitivities. These are little disturbances created by all kinds of random things throughout our day. We feel it, the ache happens, and then all of a sudden we're withdrawing, we're shutting down, we're pulling back, saying, fine. You want to be that way? Okay. Well, we might react, but then after the reaction is over, close ourselves off. We shut down the energy center. Let me ask you something. What causes you to close off? I'm asking you individually. What causes you to close off? What is it? What are the kinds of things that hit you in those odd ways that create the reaction? Is it something about your appearance? Is it something about your career or your profession? Is it maybe about your parenting style or your style as a child, as a sibling, the way your parents say things or do things to you? Is it about your financial situation? Is it a past failure, chapter of your life that you're embarrassed by or you feel shamed about? And someone says, ah, and it brings something out of you. Is it your spiritual belief or lack of beliefs in a particular area? Is it your work ethic? I could build a list that's mile long because we all have our sensitivities. What causes you to feel stress? What shuts down your heart and your energy flow? Think about your conversations, situations you've had just this last week, maybe at work or at school. I guess school's out for most of us. Think about life at home with your family, your partner. Maybe it is with your parents. Are there topics? Are there comments? Is there a running joke that hits you somewhere hard every time? And it's like, if they say that again, so help me. Let me ask you this. What is your go-to reaction when the toothache happens? When the pain, that thorn hits? What is your reaction look like? Do you know? Have you thought about it? What are you most inclined to do? How do you attempt to protect your heart? Do you have an idea? What's really sad is this belief that if we just let it blow over, if we just kind of back away, close off, eventually the pain will start to subside, and then we're just going to go back in like nothing happened, and we're just going to go back to life, and that thing's going to go away. Here's the problem. Here's the myth about that reaction. Is when something happens and you close off your heart, you shut down in a different way, certain way, and you hang on to that energy of that thing, it doesn't go away. In some Indian traditions, they call it in the Sanskrit, they call it a samskara, which means impression. Something gets burned inside of you that stays. It's a remnant. It's like scar tissue. And so that valve, your heart center, your chakra, which is designed to open up and let the love and the energy and the enthusiasm flow, it actually starts to build scar tissue and it doesn't open up all the way after a while. And the energy flow starts getting restricted. So what happens? People just say, you know what? Forget it. I'm just shutting down. They don't realize that what they're actually doing is locking themselves inside a house with the illness. They're locking the doors. They're pulling down the blinds. The sun goes away. And there they are with this thing that's burning. And they think, oh, time will get rid of this. No. We become stagnant. We try to find ways somehow, and often unhealthy ways, to get back the energy. And this is when you start seeing the medicating. You start people start looking for ways to manufacture the energy, the joy, whatever, and they start looking to unhealthy things. Now, I don't care if that's alcohol. I don't care if it's some kind of party lifestyle, unhealthy relationships. Some people will just turn to social media. Some people will find video games and they'll just sit there. I don't care what the drug of choice is, but they find phony ways to get the chakras moving and to feel what they once did. They're locked down. And every day just becomes about survival. How do we stop closing off? How do we stop from making these destructive decisions to do this? I wish there was some real obvious and tangible ways to just kind of effortless to just figure it out and just end it. The more I read, the less I find in terms of just this automatic solution. It's not simple. Well, it's simple. It's a simple answer. It's just not simple to do. And all they say is stop closing off. Quit putting the phone down, Jeff. Quit making that decision when you walk in that door that says, no, it's still on. Quit doing that. Refuse. Refuse. I love this story Eckhart Tolle tells about the ducks. Talked about this before. Ducks, when they get in a squawk, in a fight with another duck, the fight doesn't last long. I don't even know why they would fight, but maybe territory, you know, I don't know. Anyways, you know, they're pecking each other. I don't know, making lots of noise, whatever. But as soon as they're done, the ducks kind of spread out and start heading in a different direction. And then what they do is they just flap their wings. And researchers of this behavior say they think that it's just them getting rid of all the energy that just built up right there. They're just, shake that off. Boom. And then off they go like nothing ever happened. Eckhart Tolle says, if a duck was a human, they would never flap their wings. They'd start floating away and they'd start making up stories. That jerk. He's done that before. I can tell. He's going to try that again on some duck around here. I'm going to be waiting for him the next time. I can't believe he'd do that. We start rehashing what just happened, right? We start replaying everything that's going on. The tapes are going on. I can't. And we just, that was what's going on. I'm sitting there on that phone and I'm making up stories about what Kathy was thinking in this moment. Oh, she just thinks I got all the time in the world, does she? Oh, she just, bam, 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 3 exclamation marks. Have that. We make up stories. Eckhart Tolle uses the story of the ducks. He says, you got to flap. You just got to let it go. In the moment, you make a choice. I am not going to close off. I'm just not. I'm not putting down the phone. I'm walking in that door and I'm going to wear a smile and we're going to figure things out, but I am not closing off my energy center now. I will not. Get caught off in traffic. Move on. Not look at that jerk. He's doing that all the time. I'm catching up to him. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. No. Simple, but not simple, isn't it? Simple, but not simple. I'll tell you right now, this is ninja level spirituality. All joking aside, this is ninja level spirituality, because as I've just been studying this, pouring over this week, the number of times I catch myself just automatically, intuitively closing off. My son doesn't do something I'm wanting. Okay. Subtly, I will punish you emotionally. Guilt. That's fine. I'll do it then. Dad, no, hey, I told you I'll do it. I just can't do it right now. No. I start noticing myself doing this all the time. This is simple, but it is not simple. The answer is simply stop closing off. When this happens, when you start taking this seriously, you stop closing down and you keep that energy center wide open. Let me tell you something. That moves you from this place of mere survival at the end of the day to a place of thriving. It will do that. The amount of effort that it will take you emotionally to move through some of these bumps and bruises throughout the day, it will go from this much required to this. It will leave you at the end of the day with a big smile on your face, present in the moment, not trying to remember how am I supposed to act right now when the dogs are happy and Kathy's around the corner. It leaves you in this distracted place, where your horsepower is being consumed by the toothache. If we can get here, if we can get to this place where the energy flow is so abundant, we all of a sudden are now in a position where when Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world, don't hide your light. Put it up there. I know people that do this so amazingly. And they walk into a room and it's like the energy flow is flowing. I want to be one of those people. I want to walk into a room and when someone is conversing with me, that the energy isn't getting sucked out of them, but it's actually pouring into them. They're sitting there walking away going, I don't know what just happened, but that was amazing. I know when I keep my energy centers wide open, the amount of opportunities that lie all around me are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Even on a morning like this, in a little coffee time, there are people here with your energy centers so wide open. I watch you. You walk up to someone and it's just like you're shooting oxygen right down their throat. That, to me, is a picture of pure spirituality that Jesus talked about. So I'm done here. I'm gonna just ask you, are you tired? Are you tired of being sabotaged by this tendency to close? Are you tired of spending your energy on stuff you shouldn't be spending it on? Consumed with these kinds? Let it go. Refuse to open up. Refuse to close this weekend. This week. Let's be that kind of people, can we? We're going to take communion right now. I'm going to invite the band to come up. Communion is one of the few rituals we really do around here, friends. And it started with Jesus, kind of one of his last interactions with his followers. He said, look it, I'm going to be leaving. And here's a little ceremony that you can do that will hopefully remind you of everything that I have been about. So he took this glass of wine and then he took this bread and he said, these are going to be symbolic of me. But not just my body, not just literally, but everything I stand for, everything that you've seen in me, every time I've poured energy out and changed the reality that we've been in, every time you've watched someone's life turned upside down and improved for the better, every time I've spoken things and watched the light bulbs go on, watching a crowd go, I get it now. Every time I've done that, these from here on in, when you drink and when you eat these emblems, they're to remind you about what you can do too. What your life can be about. So whether or not you buy into the Jesus tradition, maybe you're here, you got dragged in here and you're going, gosh, I can't even believe I'm in church this morning. I'm going to invite you to take these emblems today as a commitment, not to refuse to close off, to live like lights and salt in this world. Would you do that? Band's going to play. You can feel free to come. And we just take one. There's even dairy-free options. There's gluten-free. And we just spoil you guys. It's not real wine. Sorry. But you can just take one of these emblems. And you can just go back to your seat. And you can just drink it, eat it. And just maybe in your own mind, just say, this is what I'm going to be about. I'm going to refuse to close off this week. Do that, and then the band will play for a little while, and then we'll be done. Don't feel like you have to rush off. It's coffee and awesome. My prayers are with you this week that you will be incredibly mindful, that before you end up closing off, you'll have that split moment. You'll catch yourself and you'll say, not today. That's my prayer for you. Let's get out there. Hey, can we be salt and light this week? Let's light up the dark rooms. Let's do that. All right, we're done. So feel free to hang out, mix and mingle, say hi to some people. We always say pretend you're friendly, but you are a friendly people, right? You are. And so warm it up. There's still probably coffee there. If you have to run, have a great week this week.